Welcome to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange. Today's topic is WebSphere MQ File Transfer Edition, Basic Step-by-Step Configuration and Setup. Today's presenter is Pranav Petha. Pranav has been working L2 support for WebSphere MQ and File Transfer Edition for the past 2 years. Previous to that, he worked on Tivoli monitoring. At this point in time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Pranav.
Thank you, Joseph, for a great introduction. And thank you, folks, for joining. I would like to have a special thank you to Inhal Riviera. Okay, let's go to slide number 2, please. Okay, so this is the agenda for today's presentation. We're going to be discussing about what is MQFDE, why to use it, how to do setup of MQFDE, where are we going to do the install and the setup, and then we're going to talk about the setup of end-to-end MQFDE, where we're going to talk about the other side or the other box of MQFDE setup. And then we're going to talk about FDE directories and structures and logs. And then we're going to talk about the MQFDE and its features. And finally, towards the end, question and answers. Okay, let's go to slide number 3, please. Okay, as you can see, WebSphere MQ File Transfer Edition, in orange short, MQFDE. So MQFDE transfers the files between the system in a managed and auditable way, regardless of its file size or operating system use. As you can see in the picture, there is an agent on both sides talking to agent queue manager, and everything is under MQ network, that's your MQ network, and there is also a command queue manager and coordination queue manager and database loggers and others. You may click on the picture, and then you can read more about the topology. Okay, let's go to slide number 4, please. You know, we all have FTP installed in our box, or regardless of operating system, and we use all the time. So, but not all FTP has all of the functionality, such as reliability, security, automation, visibility, flexibility, and integrated in the sense like if you wanted to communicate with a data power or a message broker or Tivoli or any other application, MQFDE would be able to do that. As you can see in the picture here, is it runs on MQ, and different boxes are there. They are talking to each other. Where you can do the configuration, tracking, and audit. Okay, let's go to slide number 5, please. Usually, when we do the FTP, our local box is fine, but when it goes to big corporation or enterprise level, sometimes the FTP configuration looks like shows on the picture on the right-hand side. So this is where FTP versus MQFDE plays in a role. It has the benefits of any file size from kilobyte to terabyte and so on. Reliable delivery. Obviously runs on MQ, so very, very reliable. We all know that. Guaranteed integrity. Full logging for audit purposes. This would be helpful when SOX or Sarplin, Oxley, or other audit purposes are needed, when especially file transfer side, there isn't much. So here, this would be great help. Very high performance. Character set conversation, for example, you want to send a file from a Chinese to English or COS to Windows, you can do agent level configuration and the data is converted. Very secure, using SSL, so nothing to worry about security. For automation, it has a features of XML scripting, or we call it AND scripting here, so that can be very powerful. A multi-purpose solution. Obviously, it's transfer the file or tarballs, but also sends messages as well because it runs on MQ. And supports many platforms, as we already know that, from ZOS to Windows all the way. multi-instance, so failover capability. We're going to talk about it a bit later, but every agent runs on an agent queue manager, and the agent queue manager, in order to do the file transfer, has to be up and running. If that were to go down, the file transfer would halt until the box, the agent queue manager comes back up. But if you have a failover, it fails over and everything works very nicely. And there is a nice webcast. Either you can click on the picture or click on the link here, which talks more about this from Information Week. Okay, let's go to slide number 6, please. In puzzle here, there are 4 major players: the agent, agent queue manager, coordination queue manager, and command queue manager. The agent is the FTP agent which process, which transfer to and from to the other agent. Agent queue manager, as you can see here, that's hosts the agent's queue. Coordination queue manager is the manager which broadcasts audit of file transfer and also act as a central location. For example, if we compare this to MQ clustering and is a full repository, it works as that, so it talks to the other queue manager. We'll know more later on. And if something were to, if there is a file transfer going on and something happened on coordination queue manager were to go down, the file transfer would continue to happen, but you know, you cannot do the monitoring for that time frame. And if you want to do that, it will retain the data, and next time when the queue manager comes back up, it would work. And finally, the command queue manager. It's also, when you send the MQFT commands, it talks to the agent and agent queue manager via that. And if something were to go wrong on command queue manager, the file transfer would continue to happen until the... And if you wanted to give new commands, it's going to have the queue manager has to be up. So that's where I was mentioning on a few slides earlier that agent queue manager has to be up and running all the time in order to do the file transfer. Okay, let's go to slide number 7, please. This is how to do setup of MQFT. As you can see on the picture, there is two boxes, a Windows box on the left and Linux box on the right, or Unix box. And you can see both as an agent and both as a queue managers. On Windows side, it has a command queue manager, coordination queue manager, and MQ Explorer also running. Same on the Linux side, MQ Explorer and command queue manager running. So this is just a brief overview. The both boxes are talking with each other with sender receiver channel. We're going to refer this picture a few slides down the road. As you can see from Linux side, the QMFT Linux queue manager talking to coordination queue manager. We'll refer it a bit later on. So a prerequisite for this setup is you need to have an MQ file transfer server edition. We're going to be using for both Linux and Windows. There is also a client version, which can be used for the other side if needed. And for file transfer documentation and tool, that has a plugin for MQ Explorer. And then you obviously need to have a base MQ running, and MQ Explorer also has to be running if you need to see that on MQ Explorer side. And you should have a working knowledge of a queue manager and a predefined queue manager. We're going to call it, as noted on the Windows side, QM_FTE. While working on this presentation, there's a bit newer version of file transfer edition 7.0.4.1 is out. So we always encourage to use the latest one. Okay, let's go to slide number 8, please. And this is when you double-click on install, this is what shows up. But if you wanted to search for on a password advantage, you can search for this code, CZXU0ML, for the code to download. About 400, 300, or 400 meg of files can download and install this. It's nothing much, pretty straightforward. Let's go to slide number 9, please. And as I mentioned, you know, before you do the install, you have to have a queue manager on MQ setup. So for this presentation, we're using 7.0.16. Again, I was working with a newer version, 7.0.17 out there. So we recommend to use the latest version of MQ all the time. And if you need a help setting up basic MQ configuration, you can click on the quick beginning guides. You can find it on the info center. And as you can see on the picture, QM_FDE, you can review that via MQ Explorer. Okay, let's go to slide number 10, please. Okay, so after accepting basic license agreement and stuff, this window pops up. And this is where the executable will be. So we're just going to keep it as it is. Not going to change anything here. Okay, let's go to slide number 11, please. Okay, so now it's asking for where would you like to have a configuration or a product data. By default, the window has a quite long and bit complicated naming structure. So we're going to, I have decided to choose same as a Unix, so it's same on the both sides. On the Unix side, it's a C. On the Unix side, it's a var, IBM, MQFT, config, and we're going to keep same on the Windows side. It's a C, var, IBM, MQ, config. That's the one we're going to change it from default for configuration where the product data will be stored. Okay. Go to slide number 12, please. Okay, so now this is the first queue manager, the coordination queue manager. I put a star here because the QM_FD, the coordination queue manager, will be talking from the Linux side. So this is somewhat important for initial period. And as you can see, it will be a same queue manager, QM_FD, which we defined on slide number 9. And we will be using the binding mode. If you were to choose a client mode, then you need to provide a port number, host, and channel name, which we're going to see on the when we do the configuration for the other side on the Linux few slides down the road. Let's go to slide number 13, please. Okay. This is the second queue manager, or agent queue manager. As you can see, same queue manager name as Windows QM_FDE. And on the first line, as you can see, the FDE_agent, that's our first agent on Windows side, and you can put any description that you want. And same, we're going to choose a binding mode. Okay, so let's go to slide number 14, please. And finally, the command queue manager, the third queue manager. Again, we're going to keep the same name. And again, the same binding mode. So, you know, we throughout the presentation, we have been using the same binding mode for simplicity. Okay, let's go to slide number 15, please. Okay, as you can see, this is a pre-installation summary. This is where the product directory stays. This is where the configuration stays. VAR, IBM, MQFT, and product directory there. Nothing much. Just go to slide number 16. Okay, so while during its process of installing behind the scene, and as you can see, it creates a QM_FDE MQSC file, and as you can see, it's a pop-up window where it's located under CVAR IBM MQFT config QM_FDE. That you basically need to run against the queue manager, so your queue manager right now doesn't know anything about MQFDE. So when you run these files against the queue manager, it will know all about the existence of QM_FDE or a new MQFDE setup. So that's what we're going to do on slide number 17. Simply, we're going to run that file from run MQFDE, QM_FDE, that's our Windows, again, queue manager. And this is the file. You can review that file, what is it doing, but as you can see, it defined a bunch of topics and local queues and stuff like that. But that needs to be run in order to let the queue manager know that, hey, MQFT is now there. Let's go to slide number 18, please. And again, continuing doing the install, and now it's going to create one more MQFC file for agent and FDE_agent create MQFC file. And as you can see on the window, pop-up window has different files. We're going to talk about some of the files down the road. And again, the same procedure on slide number 19. we're going to let our queue manager know that, hey, agent queue manager is there, and we're going to run MQSC queue underscore FTE, FTE underscore agent create MQSC file. We're going to run that. You can obviously review the file and see what it's doing. Again, it's going to create different local files and stuff, which we do on MQ side. Okay, so let's go to slide number 20, please. And finally, say install complete. This is where the executable, and we click on done. And the MQFT setup is done for Windows side. So we're going to go to slide number 21 now. Okay. So, you know, as noted, let's create one more agent, FT underscore agent, via command line, as noted on slide number 13, which we created via GUI. So let's see what kind of agent is already there. So where executable would be, there would be program files, IBM, MQ, FT, bin, and we just simply type FT list agent. So that earlier created agent is there. And we create one more agent. We're going to name it FTE underscore agent too. So the command is from the bin directory, FTE create agent. The agent name is FTE underscore agent, and agent queue manager name is same, QM underscore FTE. And again, it's going to create different files, and eventually it's going to create an MQSC file. Make sure you run it against the queue manager. Otherwise, if you want to do transfer, he won't do it. So that's for more on the same on local logs. Okay, let's go to slide number 22, please. Now, as I mentioned earlier, Base MQ Explorer doesn't know anything about MQFT. So if you wanted to see MQFT there, you need to download from Password Advantage if you were to search CZXV9ML and make sure that MQ Explorer is running, turn it up, and you download the package and go to double click and install executable, and then you're going to see this screen. Let's go to slide number 23, please. Okay, while doing install, different option is there. As we saw earlier, has an option of database logger or tools or customization. For simplicity, we're going to just install everything, so we're going to click on complete install. There is nothing much here. We're going to go to slide number 24. Again, by default, Windows has a bit longer naming convention, so we're going to keep it same as earlier where MQFT is already installed. So we're going to change the configuration folder to CVAR IBM WMQFT and config. So everything is the same location. Let's go to slide number 25. And it's going to say, hey, already something is there. And make sure you write existing. If you write to overwrite, your earlier MQFT would be gone. So use existing. And that's the one thing we have to pay attention. And let's go to slide number 26 now. Okay, and finally we skip some of the basic steps. And it's going to say, hey, install is done for plugin for MQ Explorer. And let's go to slide number 27, please. Okay, so now I bring up the MQ Explorer, and it already knows there is an MQ file transferred there because plugin found it. And it already knows that QM underscore FT is there. As you can see, there has a different option for agent. It's if you click on agent, that other pop-up window shows up on the right-hand side, FT underscore agent, and FT agent 2 shows up as a ready. If you want to select and learn, play around more, then we'll discuss more on the next few slides, where if you click on monitors, or you'll see create the monitors if you wanted to do a transfer template for future use, where all the information for both agents are there, we can create a template and use that, or if you wanted to create a new transfer, you can also click on that. If you wanted to see what's happening in transfer log, if it's transfer went well, if it's something is hanging, you can review on the transfer log. We're going to discuss that later. and pending transfer and so on. Okay, so that was MQFR. Let's go to slide number 28, please. Okay, so now, as we already seen some of the config that we change, this is how the overview. This is there will be usually a config directory. Then it's going to have a coordination queue manager, and it's going to have an agent. Only agent is there. If you were to run a coordination queue manager separately where it doesn't have agent, then agent folder won't be there. If you were to have a different coordination queue manager, then you're going to have a different queue managers will show up there. Pretty straightforward. Let's go to slide number 29, please. Okay, so as you can see on the configuration data directory structure for, as I mentioned, for this box, while I was doing install, I has a coordination queue manager, has an agent, and then if I were to have it, I had two agents, so I will have a two different directory under agents, agent one, agent two, and then it's going to have a different exit and log. We're going to talk about that later in following slides. So that's a typical installation. Let's go to slide number 30, please. Okay, so now the coordination queue manager, typically it will have three files. And three files are, the first one is noted here is command property. It has information required to connect to the command queue manager used by the commands. And, you know, when we run the command down the road, we're going to discuss, I'm going to show you these files, how it is created. The coordination property file, it has information to coordination queue manager, where it's used by monitoring and logging, and MQSC file, which we already ran as a resource required to coordination queue manager. And finally, agent. This is where it holds agent level configuration. Okay, so let's go to slide number 31. We're going to drill down a little bit more about the agent. Okay, so now when we create the agent, has a different file. We already seen some of them. The agent property file, that's the one when the agent queue manager is used. It needs to know where my queue manager is. So that's where it has the information. The create, we already ran that earlier. If you that let your queue manager know that, hey, I'm the agent. If you were to delete the setup, you can run that MQSC file. Obviously, you can read any of these properties in MQSC to see what is it doing. Exist, if you were to have a custom exist, you can put it here. And finally, log. This is our favorite for our IBM support. This is where all the logs file would be there. It's also, if we were to, something problem is there, we can ask to run the trace. Traces would be there, or FDCs. If something were to not running properly, FDC files would be everything you can find under logs. Okay, let's go to slide number 32, please. Okay. Thank you, Joseph. All right, so as you can see on the agent has a sub-directory, logs. We already spoke about that. And it writes wrapping sequence log file, can be used for problem PD. As you can drill down into the log file, you can see it has all the information about my box. It's running build level version 7 and has a JRE version 1.6 and running on XP, yada, yada, yada. And has the information about the properties, so which agent, the FD underscore agent, the agent queue manager, coordination, all the information can be found there. And I was just trying to start a queue manager. As you can see, towards the bottom of the last line, it says agent has been successfully started. So that's just the information, W for warning and E for errors and stuff. So you can review the output file if your agent is not starting up or if you see some issues there. Okay, let's go to slide number 33, please. Okay, so now that was on the one side of setup and review of the files. Now we're going to do the other side of the setup where we, as I mentioned earlier, on Linux. So make sure you have MQFT code note earlier on slide number 8 is installed on the Linux box. And you can skip if you are ready to use a GUI. Skip the step. We'll do the configuration steps manually on step number 3 below. So basically, we will require 4 sections for this setup. The step number 1 is where we're going to do the install and setup of Linux. And showing on MQ Explorer the window side that, hey, Linux is there. Then the step number 2 is communication among the both boxes. This is important to know about it, and that's where the sender-receiver channel comes in. And step number three, their MQFT setup for Linux box, where it's going to point to Windows box, box flag command line, and we're going to view the agents. And finally, step number four, we're going to do a transfer of a file and review the logs. Let's go to slide number 34, please. As you can see, it's a note, so if somebody wants to learn more about the basic setup, how to MQ the remote box showing up on your MQ Explorer, you can go through these slides where some of the important stuff is system admin server con needs to be running and that kind of stuff, so you can review this slide. I'm going to go to the next slide, slide 35, please. Again, this is a pretty basic sender receiver. And if you wanted to do your own setup for two boxes, you can review this stack node. Number is there, but I'm going to skip it. Let's go to slide number 36, please. Okay, so now this is for MQFT. This is where to create a coordination queue manager according to the Windows box. As you can, very earlier slide 7, I said that we're going to be referring, so this is, we're going to be discussing that. So from bin directory, we're going to run the command FTE setup coordination. The coordination queue manager name is qm_FTE, so that's the Windows box. The coordination queue manager host name is Windows box. The port number is whatever is already running. And core channel name is system dev server con. And as I mentioned earlier, this is manually, when you run this, it's going to create a coordination of property files in config directory, which we already seen. And we're going to create a setup command for the command queue manager. So we're going to run FTE setup command, somewhat similar commands as above, aligned. Again, connection queue manager name is same, Windows box, qm_FTE. Connection queue manager host name is same. Port number is same, channel name is system dev server con, and this is going to create a command of property files, so you can review those files under config directory. And finally, create the agent, FTE create agent. Agent name is FTE Linux agent. This is going to be for the local box, and it already knows about it, and agent queue manager name is qm_FTE, which created on earlier steps, and this is going to create a MQSC file which you have to run against the local Linux queue manager, and it's also going to create a agent.property file when you run this create agent command. So we simply run it. Let's go to slide number 37, please. And finally, start the agent. So opt IBM WMQFT bin directory. We run FTE start agent, FTE Linux agent. And you can show this message, and it's going to show that this is where the log file is located, var IBM MQFT config. And this is where we already seen the logs earlier. This is where you can find that, hey, agent is started. And let's see if it shows up anything. So on step number 6 here, we're going to run FTE list agent, where it can see that FTE Linux agent is which we created earlier showing up as a ready on qm_FTE. But as you can notice here, since it's talking to the Windows box, we created those two agents earlier. That's also showing up under there, and also a few other which coordination queue manager we're talking to. Okay, let's go to slide number 38, please. Okay, this steps is not required, but if you were to point to, if you have existing setup and now you want to do a transfer to some other box, for example, AIX box, or you have already MQFT setup is there, but you don't have a root authority to change any of this, you can use this option to using the FTE infrastructure to do the transfer. FTE setup coordination, somewhat similar command as before. For AIX from the bin directory. Coordination queue manager name is qm_FTE. And coordination host name is AIX box. Port number is there. And same command as earlier, system dev server con for the channel. And it's going to create a directory under config for second coordination queue manager. And then now we're going to run setup commands, where similar setup commands for command queue manager, FT setup commands, connection queue manager name, the AIX box, the same AIX host name, connection queue manager port is the different port, and channel is there. But one thing you notice here is dash P, where it's going to point to the QM underscore FT AIX. That's what you would need. Otherwise, you won't know where it's going to point back to the local queue manager. So this is, you need a P here to pointing to different queue manager. And again, we're going to create the agent. Same way, FT create agent, agent name, FT AIX agent, and same queue manager, local Linux queue manager. But we're going to point it to QM underscore FTE AIX. It's going to create an MQSC file, as we already seen a couple of times before. And we're going to run against the same local Linux box for the AIX, and it's going to create a setup for talking to now, a different setup for AIX side. Okay. So let's go to slide number 39, please. Okay, so now we're going to do the transfer from Windows to Linux. When we click on that agent, now it's going to show a Linux agent is ready. And obviously two Windows agents are there. And then we click on MQFT and we click on New Transfer. Other window pops up as number 3 noted here. For the basic side, we're going to put the local Windows box name. We can have a directory or file. We're going to select file for now. Our file name is file.zip. And on the Windows side, we're going to create one more directory just to receive file called temp from Windows. For agent name is Linux agent. It's going to set up us to do the transfer. So let's go to slide number 40, please. And as you can see here, actually, while I already created those two agents, so I can obviously drag and drop file. But since two agents were created, I also did the local transfer from FT underscore agent to FT underscore agent 2, and it was successful. And the second line you can see here for Linux side, where FT underscore agent and Tux, the Linux agent, where previous slide where I was doing the transfer. So that's where the Linux agent. And finally, as you can see in the bottom side, it says 100% successful for sending a transfer over to Linux. And everything's set up over there, so let me do one more transfer and say it's failed. And as you can see on the pinkish or red slide saying the file already exists. And on the bottom, it says failed because of 0%. The file already there. There's option for overwriting a file, and a lot more options are there. You're going to see some of the options on slide number 41, please. And while we're creating a transfer, there is an option for scheduling. If you wanted to do some specific time, for example, your programmer were to do his job at midnight, and you wanted to get the file transfer at specific time frame, or how often you want to transfer, for and a lot more customization is here for scheduling. And same with the trigger, if you wanted to have a specific file pattern needs to be matching or any kind of stuff for that transfer, you can do here. Pretty self-explanatory, nothing much there. Let's go to slide number 42. Okay. And as I mentioned earlier, there's also resource monitoring, where you want to do the monitoring of a specific file. You go through the MQ Explorer and right-click on monitoring. This window pops up, and then you provide information about FT, what you want to do. For example, if you wanted to have a specific tar file, is there, you can transfer. If you wanted to exclude a RAR file or .c file, you can exclude that, or vice versa. If you wanted to have a further pattern of matching, or if you wanted to have a point B, if you wanted to have a trigger, or if you wanted to have a specific metadata or attributes, you can have all different kind of functionality there. And as noted in D, on the slide 42, showing that file list monitor dash V, it's going to show all the information about the verbose mode for that agent. For that agent monitoring side. And slide number 43, please. Okay. that was pretty much it about the overall MQFT. So here, I hope you learn about overview of MQFT and its benefits, the major players in MQFT, understanding of end-to-end setup, important file structures and review of logs, and learn about moving files among the two boxes, and some of the features of MQFT. Let's go to slide number 44, please. And this is resources. Obviously, Information Center is there, the best one. Yeah, search anything or our website where you can send us information. The rare books are there. And, for example, the DeveloperWorks nice article, if you wanted to do one too many file transfer, you can click on that. And if you want to do a trial download, you can click on the trial download. Okay. Thank you, folks, for your time. I'm going to give it back to Joseph now.
Thank you, Parnett, for a great presentation. At this point in time, Jackie, we would like to open the line for questions.
We have a few questions on the phone. Nandini Devi, your line is open.
Hi. I have a question regarding a database logger. I understand it's very little out of topic for this because here the log file under the agent folder will be having the log only about the agent status, that's agent stop or started. And other logs regarding each file transfer will not be in the file system. We can have only in the Explorer and also not for all the logs. Like we can have the log for maybe 1 week or 1 month logs. The old logs will be not seen in the Explorer. So could you please explain about the database logger, which is an optional data storing facility in MQFT?
Actually, yeah, again, as you mentioned, this is not discussing this topic. I haven't, I'm going to transfer to my colleague in hell. He may be able to answer, or you can send us an email. We can discuss that about my email address on the first page about the database logger. And Hal, you have some feedback?
Yes, I think it would be better if we can receive the email with the specific question and we can address more with more detail. Basically, the database logger has, for example, you could use DB2 or Oracle, and the idea is that all the transactions, all the file transfers that were happening, then you can keep track of them via the database logger. And otherwise, if you don't use the database logger, there will be just the number of files that are kept in the logs is a finite number. And after a certain number, there will be just wrap up. And then if you want to have an audit of every single file that was transferred, especially if you have very busy systems, that's where the database loggers can be useful. But they require additional setup and configuration.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
My next question comes from Murthy Nuna. Your line is open.
Yeah, hi. This is Murthy. Just want to actually ask you, is FTE a separately licensed product or is the license already included in the base MQ product?
I believe it's a separate licensed product. You need to buy that separately.
Okay, thanks.
Our next question comes from Alex Nesjelty. Your line is open.
Yes, I just wanted some clarification around the use of the FTE server installation as a client.
Okay. Usually, if you wanted to do a basic setup, you need to have a server on the one side. But if you want to do a client setup, you can have other could be client, and then you provide information about the servers when we do the configuration of further configuration. For example, when you create pointing, it's going to point it back to server. So the client can be used, but there should be one server and
right.
Everything else.
Right. Okay. So if you use the FTE server installation, you have the choice of using it as a client or a server. Is that right? Without the concern of license.
When you do the server installation, it only has a server. But then you need to download a client side where I'm not sure about the licensing. You can send me an email and we can find out more. But for client side, you may not have to worry about the licensing, but then you set up and point to the server.
Pranav, may I Yes, go ahead. Yes. The server installation actually contains also the client files. Then
okay.
If you just download the server, and you will be able to create your coordination key manager, your command key manager, and so on. And then your agent. The agent is part of the client. Now, if the idea for the client installation files is the following. You could have another, for example, Linux machine, but you do not want to have a key manager there. Okay, this
right.
is a standalone box that doesn't have MQ.
Yes.
Then you install the FTE agent client code and then create an agent there, and then you will have to modify the properties for that agent to point to the queue manager that is located in the other Linux box.
Right.
In that way, it will not be a bindings connection, but it will be at what is called a transport type of client, and then you specify the host, the port number, and so on.
Okay.
Then the footprint of that client installation code is smaller, and it will not have anything for the queue manager. And
but it gives you the functionality, the server installation gives you the functionality of changing the setup later on if you choose to install a queue manager locally on that box.
Yes. Now, the FTE code doesn't include anything really to install a queue manager.
No, right. But
yes.
You would just change the config of that FTE server
yes.
installation from client from binding from remote to binding.
Correct.
Okay.
Yes, that's correct. Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
Alindra Chinta, your line is open.
I have a question regarding this. All these files are from file to file, right? Or can we put it on the queue? The transfer happens from file location from one directory to another directory, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But can we put it directly on the queue instead of placing into share?
Yeah, you should be able to. I haven't had a try to work on that. Yeah. And hell, do you have any feedback on that?
Yes, you can. Yeah, you can initiate also for a message to a file. Then you have the flexibility from message to file to file, or file to message in the queue, or from message in the queue to a file.
Why
so much? Is there any documentation available for this?
Yes, it's in the information center, and let me. If you can send us an email, then we can send to you the whole link for the info.
The link and everything.
The specific link for the section in the info center that has that information.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from Ravi Bogadru. Your line is open.
Hi, I have a quick question regarding file transfer from a Windows platform to a Z Linux platform. We recently had an issue when we were sending binary data from a Windows platform to a Z Linux because the Windows platform reads stores the data in a Little Endian format, whereas when it comes to Z Linux, it is stored in a Big Endian. So does NQFTE take care of the conversion when it's sending files from Windows to a Z Linux?
Yes, as I noted earlier on slide, has a you can do agent-level configuration. When you create the agent, there is a different flag. So you can find a lot more options on the information center where you can provide the CCID and all the information in there. And then when you transfer the file from Windows to ZOS, it should be able to do the conversion for you.
So it converts from Little Indian to Big Indian when it's transferring from Windows to Z Linux, right?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from Razat Noria. Your line is open.
Yeah, is there a requirement for version 7 of MQ to be used along with it? And is it only that you have to create sender receiver pair rather than the cluster?
I'm sorry, could you repeat the question one more time?
A couple of questions. The first question is it a requirement for a sender receiver pair, or we can also use MQ clustering? For communication?
For the basic setup, you require a sender-receiver channel. That's the requirement. You cannot use a cluster. I'm not aware of that side yet. I'm sorry, what was your second question?
Is it the MQ7, the requirement as prereq, or we can use MQ6 also?
No, 701 and onwards, not even base 7, 701 and onwards.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. Thank you.
Nandini, Debbie, your line is open.
Yes, I have another question. Actually, I believe that files are transferred as non-persistent messages via MQ. So if you're transferring in a big file, any TB file, it will take some time to transfer the files via MQ to one agent to another agent. In that, during that time, if network failure happens, how the non-persistent messages will be handled? Because half of the file will be will get transferred, and half file will be in the sender side. So how it will be handled during those scenarios?
On MQFT, you have option of persisting and non-persisting. Obviously, if you select non-persisting during the, it's obviously not that important. So if it's a network disruption were to happen, you would lose that portion of that. But if you were to choose persistent, I did happen to me several times when IP address was changed, and it would wait for everything. Even sender receiver channel, there was an issue. It would wait for entire setup to be up and running, and it would take off where it left off. But that's what my understanding. In hell, you have any feedback?
No, that's correct.
You mean there's sorry to interrupt. You mean there's a chance to lose a file?
No. Usually, by default, in my testing and playing around, I haven't able to lose anything. It was, complete from point A to point B.
Oh, okay. Where we can set it as a persistent or non-persistent, because as per my understanding, it is a non-persistent. As for a while, I never set up anywhere it's persistent, so it will be helpful if you can mention where you can set it.
When you create the agent, there is a flags for that. By default, it is persistent. So you don't really, if you want to do a standard setup, you don't have to worry about that. But there's a lot more flags and options for the agent level when you do the configuration there. You can select that.
And
I can, again, send you the link for those flags and information.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
John Haraburda, your line is open.
Hi. Yeah, I have a question where it was mentioned that you must have MQ installed and that it uses it. Does it use that solely under the covers? Because I didn't see anything here that caught my eye where it was actually using MQ.
Oh, yeah, it runs on MQ, as the earlier slide shows. So behind the screen, like, for example, when we create the agent, it creates an MQSC file, and that if you look at the MQSC file, it's MQ. So it is fully, MQ is being utilized behind the scene or under the cover.
Okay, so I can use MQ commands to display the agent and so forth.
Display the agent, there is a, for example, you go to the bin directory on Linux side, and there is a tons of commands where I believe on one of my slides I try to show the command FD list agent, and it's a bit different than standard MQ, and then you just run it on your command line. You don't have to go to MQSC to see the the information about your FD or any of, you can do a lot of stuff, which you can do it on GUI, everything on command line, so you can do a lot more scripting and stuff.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah,
sure.
Let me clarify something. The base MQ does not know that FTE is using it. Okay, FTE knows that it's using MQ, but for example, if you go just directly with MQ and you try to use normal MQ commands, like you run MQSE, you will not see anything related to agents. However, if you know, based on some of the slides, what is the name of the queue that the agent will use, then if you query on those queues, yes, you will see that which are the agents that are known for that particular queue manager. But if you didn't know that trick, then there are no commands like a list agents from the base in queue.
Okay, that's helpful. Thanks.
Okay.
Thank you.
We have no further questions.
Thank you, Jackie. And I do have one question here coming from the group chat. So the question is, can the three agents, coordination, command, queue managers be instead of one queue manager? Can you provide some benefits and disadvantages of
doing this?
Oh, yeah. So if you wanted to have three different queue managers, that's where, like, many configuration. For easy setup, I've tried to show everything on one, but it is advisable to have all three different, the coordination queue manager running on separate, the command running on separate, and the agent queue manager running separate. So if, you know, if one of them goes down, then your, for example, transferring 100 files would not stop. And as I mentioned earlier, the agent queue manager should be the one, is an important one when you're doing the transfer, or it should good to have a failover for that one. But if you, so the advantages are, you know, very robust. Disadvantages could be a little bit hard to do the configuration and management of all the different servers. I hope I answered your question.
Thank you, Pranav.
Thank you.
And I don't show any other questions in the web conference right now, so at this point in time, we will conclude the presentation.